Ms. Elaine Leon. I'm requesting a petition to you for the help. And I'm struggling with how to involve myself.
My name's Suzanne Gardner. I'm a poet right now, and I'm writing for the community as well. I also teach with the Cooking Matters Collaborative.
I'm the leader of the community. My era, and I'd like to get an idea of what the community is doing.
My name's Michelle Pataj. I'm a poetry editor. I'm doing supporting the community. I'm literally a editor of the magazine. I also teach at Oxford. I'm always interested in people who think that poetry is an appropriate movement.
I'll take that.
I'm working in the
Your lifestyle. My name is Rita. I'm artist. I consider that the work is the same. And being a work person, it's art, it's not expression. There's no conflict at all. I'm here because I heard the music together. I would need to see that. And he was so moved by the poem, he wanted the people in the center to get a copy of it.
So he sat right there, he copied it over, and he's going to make copies for everybody in the center. And so that's a way of communicating and getting across what you think in terms of ideas in a way that's useful for other people. So that, you know, people may still be eating the cheese, but the people in his center will have something to think about because people have passed on information in his home to them. So that's, for me, what it has to be. It has to kind of like an organic experience, a way of doing it that's not outside of the everyday ordinary activities, things to do, but so that you don't feel like I'm doing something that's overwhelming, I'm doing something that's not.
I'm the one who's on the list. Thank you. things are in terms of that particular kind of expression, which is your individual expression, your perception of yourself in the world, and the problems of the world, and being a good actor. For some person, you know, you're going to be out all night because you want people to be out on the street the next day because there's a war happening. I mean, it's that simple. For me, it has been a real source of joy and survival and pride that community of writers, superwomen, who from very different kinds of backgrounds and who are involved both in an urgent, that kind of cutting edge sense of political struggle and action and a dedication to art, you know, to what they consider to be good art and struggle to make that art as good as it can be, to be more than that. There is that community. And when I first graduated from college, I didn't know that community. I felt very divided. Everyone was from the same community as theirs. And there were some people at Great Taylor, which enjoyed an affair, but, you know, they were exceptions. But when I moved to the Lexus, and the other different halls has really shown me that there's quite large diversity out there. Don't be fooled don't believe that there aren't political policies in this country. It's because they're hidden. You know, from they're not making the new
organization.
Seriously, the average people for the New York Times graduate in MFAs, you know, are led to believe that it's even, you know, it's not the American College Review or New York, it's that completely out of color. And that brings us to another question, which I hope we'll discuss later, which is about the production of the world and the distribution of the world. And who do you want the world to speak to, and what part do you take? This is something that I've been talking about a lot. What part do you take in making that happen? Because remember, I was very fortunate. I'm not widely published, and I don't put my work out there. Instead, I wrote hundreds of them. I mean, that's a, you know, that's a conflict and a problem, a weakness. I was fortunate enough to have one of my poems performed, number two, that Holly and Ron Gilbert, and Susan Harmon, that actually won the country. And, you know, similar to the Chief's experience, I felt lucky as a poet that I know most of those people just, even if I didn't have a book like Doubleday, they probably wouldn't have gotten it, would own that. But here, the poem was offered in a way which made, first of all, took away the kind of mystification of the threat of poetry because it happened to be something. Just offered it, you know, there in the middle of the concert. And the response that we got, you know, was that many people were really grateful that they had that opportunity. And so, you know, that says something about where and in what form are you offering poetry. Not necessarily the beginning, you know, just like the dialogue, the river, the lawn, you know, not that those aren't great places to go to read. We as artists, and particularly as political artists, have to figure out, you know, where are we going to go and how we're going to offer it so that it means something. And I would just end with, as a follow-up to Hunter's message, when we were together in Nicaragua, we had to meet with a trans boy named Minister of the Interior, who was called Austin. And I led him back to question about the role of art in the revolution. And he said that there had been a lot of discussion that he gave of, you know, can we afford to have, you know, in this initial period the world is struggling and the threat to really have an abundance of individual expression where they are not to be, you know, the revolutionary line. Mm-hmm. But they decided that individual expression was absolutely essential to the flourishing of what they believe in and really in the end of our time of revolution and welcome, which, you know, is just very beautiful where it's going. But I think it also says something about
truly exist in an environment as a poet where you come to recognize that your poems are important, that it is important to write them, that it's as important to take the 2 or 3 hours that you have in a day to write a poem or a line as it is important to make it to the reading, as it is important to come up with the agenda, because the poem is as personal and as political as you can be at that moment. And the ability to share that with people in such a way that is not intimidating, because these people are very intimidating in America. But in other cultures, you see how very important the people's expression is. And it is very important to see that many of the leaders who lead out the revolution are poets and artists themselves. And that's also true of many of the African leaders, because of the emerging independent African states in the 60s. Many of those leaders were poets and artists, you know, cultural, what we today call cultural workers. And so it's important to recognize and feel supported by the fact that cultural work is vital and important for it. It's baking bread. It's as important as being able to go to school. It's as important as raising a child. It's as important as making a decision to live. And to do that, that kind of support is something that I've been able to experience as a writer. I hope that I will continue to experience because I feel young as a student of artists. Not as an experience, but as in wanting to know, willing to take certain kinds of risks, anyways, really, to communicate what I think is the value of an idea to the people that I want to talk to. And the people that I want to talk with are not always the people who are being reconstructed. The people that I want to talk with are not always the people who are being reached by the establishment. They're not always the people who are, you know, obviously the New York Times, that obviously was not a crime or this is what I'm doing or whatever. And more willing as a spacer up on the other side. I'm more and more willing to try to find other ways to reach. I'm more and more willing to stand out on the street corner and hand out homes. That's what I think is going to take. And to see that as just as valuable as getting involved in an activity that is organized by an organization, but be able to feel spontaneous as an artist too. I mean, that's something that we have to, and we have that as women. We have, I think, it up in that way. And utilize that sense of spontaneity and move not just as an organization, but as individuals, because it's an individual movement. It's each drop in the basket is cumulative. All the drops are cumulative, and that's how we move forward, by the cumulative steps of our action. The revolution is not going to start sweet and then it's over. It's years and 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 years. The people in Africa and South Africa who are fighting the ANC have been fighting for well over 20 years. The Nicaraguans fought for, it started ever since the Civil War. You know, so that sense of the continuity of the struggle and the importance of seeing the struggle and living through it, not burning yourself out, not putting everything you possibly can into the nuclear disarmament movement, waking up and saying, I've been doing this for years, it's still the same. Well, they can make them bonds for everyone. And that's the kind of strength that we, I think, want to exhibit, the ability to outlast them. Not just to taste them, but to outlast them. And to outlast them with a sense of honor and great dignity. And I think that's a very powerful weapon and a powerful tool. Do you find yourself singing a jingle that you really, you might not even want to find, but you end up singing the jingle because you walk down the street and you know, the Pepsi generation. It's that ability to get your mind, and you know, they have that, we have that too. And we have to find a way to tap into people so that we can utilize forms like rap songs, so that rap songs become political tools for us, so that we can communicate ideas to people in a form that they are experiencing themselves. If I could break, I would break. I mean, if I could break then, dance and talk my poetry at the same time. And I would be able to communicate, I would just continue to open up the areas of people that I could communicate. And that's the kind of thing that I'm interested in looking at today and moving forward today, because the task ahead is great. was at high school, mad at high school, because there are other artists who may have, she didn't tell us politically, but she's making a lot of money, who were getting scratched all over the newspapers in the media, who are just doing well, and you know that you might miss. It's really
Double day. One of my earliest books called Spirit in the Street, which came out in 1972, was first was remanded and they didn't tell me. They didn't have to do it. But then they used it for and they didn't tell me that either. It was only because I had an editor who really cared about me and said, listen, I'm going to tell you, if you can't afford to buy the best 20 copies, I'm going to give it to you. Because not only is the book not going to be printed anymore, you know, they already need it for some. So you have to know what it is you're going after when you're going after that establishment. And also think in much more kind of guerrilla fashion in terms of how you're going to work when they don't do. What are you going to do, you know? What's more important, getting your poems out there or getting them published like everything? Well, now it's more important to me to get my poems out. Because I can publish them myself. I actually can. And this is Kathy was talking about this the other day, too. It's not, they try to stigmatize you and say, well, if you're not published by the best houses, et cetera, then you're no good. You're not worth the time and anything. But that's ridiculous. It's only their opinion of what you're about. And that ability to be self-determining as women, as artists, to take the art and do with it what we wish to do.
In the places where you see that coming together happening in terms of, like you did a week of last spring, in terms of Soweto, which was, for me, you know, it was like came at the end of a long, close to burnout period of organize. And then here I was with these women who were just one fantastic writer after another. And they were all about the political urgency that, you know, that I felt was moving me, you know, all the wonderful writers. And I just think it really takes trying to seek out, but that it's there, you know. I do think it's there, but I think, you know, something that Alexis was really talking about, it does take a lot of courage and a lot of fortitude and belief in that what you're seeking out is real and of tremendous value and worth. Because there, you know, I was telling Alexis, this friend of mine who's a writer wrote me a letter saying about my poems, this and that, and how he said, I think you probably should sort out or differentiate your love poems or pure poems even, from your, what he called street poems, which is his way of thinking. Now, this is a very well-known writer. He's a very good writer. He's written some major political books without meaning to. Process of work together and also just vigilant about. There's a stigma that says political art is bad art, but there's no such thing as good political art, it's rhetorical. Right, and it's just trying to tell you what to think about a political issue. And that's very strong in the culture, I mean, it's really strong. You have to just think that you have to try to surround yourself with what you think is real and powerful. And hold up with them. And also remember that it is imagination and creativity that will save us. In every sense. Mm-hmm. And that's what is very often, you know, I mean, missing in our political organizing. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things that I'm always trying to think of with the organizing I do is let's look to the imagination, let's look to the artists who have a different vision for moving us in a different way that might, you know, open the door because we're stuck very often.
I just want to say one of the most destructive kind of myths about publishing in mainstream areas and being overcome on the end of it is the idea that they have resources at their disposal so they can reach far more people than anybody else can. That, you know, you may not agree with what they say, blah, blah, but you should go along with that line because that's the way more people are going to hear what you have to say. So I was wondering if you could talk about some of the strategies maybe that you've been thinking about ways to do that, not to make it
personal. Well, I'm one of those people who believe in doing it in many different kinds of processes. So I do see some value in utilizing them as opposed to them utilizing me. So I think that is good to know where they are and utilize them for what you can get. So I will, you know, as long as they offer me contracts, probably will continue to offer me contracts, I'll take them because I have to pay my rent because I have this art that I want to do. And I don't want anything, starvation, lack of a place to live, or anything stop me from doing what I want to do because that is what has happened to women throughout history. We've always been stopped by some obstacle or another from moving ahead. Although we've always moved ahead, we've always had those heavy obstacles to deal with. So I see the value of utilizing them, and I also see the value of self-publishing, or what I call independent. I don't even like to call it self-publishing because that's what they call for that. And by calling it self-publishing, that's how they put it down. So I like to call it independent publishing. And I think that that's very important to know that if this is another project that Kathy and I have, you may have noticed we work as a team. But one of the things that we want to do is to get into some independent publishing and look at this question that we've been talking about, how to reach people and who it is that we're trying to reach. So we think in terms of independent publishing, we think in terms of getting more involved with the movement or with what is called the movement. One of the highlights as a poet for me was being able to be down at Times Square when all the people were going by to the June 12th rally. And we had a poet stand set up like right when you come around the corner at 42nd, 43rd Street. To me, it was like, I could not believe that I was seeing all of those people. It was like 1,000 people a second. I can never talk to 1,000 people a second, you know what I'm saying? And the value of being able to do that, I'm not saying that everybody heard the whole poem because they probably got one line as they went by. But the cheering of the people, you know, people seeing me and me seeing the people and knowing that that was a bond, what we were doing was totally different from what was legitimate to do, you know, as a poet or as the people. another meeting to go to, and it's 10 o'clock at night, and trying to get home, and stuff like that. Yeah, I just like to give a few examples, because I think it's a really critical lesson in terms of, do you believe what it is you're creating, or other people that you're creating is worth getting out there? And how are you, if you believe in self-determination in the broadest sense, I mean, really, without being rhetorical about it, how are you going to go about doing it? And some examples, in addition to June 12th, which, she's lucky, I was about to get a joy and so those are just a few examples. improved in my attitude. That's really another question.
But just also ask that to determine what kind of self-determining strategies you can look at as role models, not only women in other cultures, but women here too, activists here too. If you look at the civil rights movement, it is fraught with examples of artists for all levels. You know, community artists, artists who are very well known, who utilize what they do best in the spirit of the movement. So you have people like Callie Belafonte, you have people like Fannie Lou Hamer, you have people like Rosa Parks, you have people like James Baldwin, Nina Simone. You have just regular folk who were out there in the streets singing and utilizing the songs that they knew best, which were gospel songs, they turned into movement songs, they changed the words a little bit, those words became movement songs. And then those pieces of work, that culture, became the emphasis, the way in which to survive the 60s. And this, the people in the South could not have survived the 60s if they did not know, if they did not intuitively know and tap into what was part of their everyday ordinary experience. The church. The church was very effective in the civil rights movement. If you look at the labor movement in this country, if you look at the anti-war movement in this country, if you look at the women's movement in this country, look at all those movements and you'll see where the artists have been. You'll see what artists have tried to do. Things like the Women's Pentagon Action, for example, they are very, very spontaneous and very creative in the way that they respond to issues. Very creative. When you look at the Green and Common women, who just decided, well, we should sit here. We're going to sit here. And there are no leaders. There's no, the establishment doesn't know what they're going to do. They just, women, independent women from all over the world. And there's a, if you don't have some current information on it, there's an article in this month, I think it's this month, Mother Jones.
Last month.
It talks about the whole experience and what it's like. And the value of seeing spontaneous action as political action, as cultural action, as action that is transforming, that can change your life. Not only your life, then it changes a lot of people who are next to you. Because when you change, people around you change too. They change in how they see the country that you're talking about, or the issue that you're talking about. Even if they don't agree, something happens to them. Some kind of exchange takes place between you and the person that you're trying to communicate with. So these are other kinds of ideas for strategies that we can begin to look at and utilize, again, so that we do not find ourselves determined by the other structures. And there's a whole tradition of political artists. You can go way back to whatever time, but for example, to look at the 1930s during the Depression, and to look at the WPA art, the possibility of people being able to art in subways, or art in the banks, or art along the streets, or art in places that they would not normally see art, is a tradition that we can hook into. And that tradition comes all the way up to the present time, even with graffiti. Graffiti in South Africa is a very important form of communication, a very important way of letting people know what's happening. And graffiti in this country can be utilized that way, so maybe it is. In the 1960s, one of the graffiti slogans that speaks to my mind is "Walk the Pig." But when you heard that, you know what people meant. When the cops knew what you meant when they saw "Walk the Pig" written on the wall on the University Wall. I remember during the Columbia, during the 1968 student uprising, there was a lot of stuff written all over the walls at Columbia. And that's how we communicate with each other. And it's a people-to-people form of communication. And it's a form of communication that is not, that cannot be censored. Try to wash it off the walls, but it really cannot be censored. When you go to a publisher and you say, "I want to put this out," first thing they say, "Let me tell you what I think." So right there, they're already censored. They think of what they're trying to do. So they even don't think that this poem should go here, or this poem should be in here at all, or maybe you should use all those words that you use, or whatever it is that you were trying to do. So that's, again, a way of trying to not just bystep what they're doing, but use them, as I said before, as opposed to them using us. Use what they have as opposed to being used up by them. Someone else has a question. Did you have a question?
Yes, I'm
have some feelings with myself about it. My work is not representation, and I don't have words to me, so I have more of that kind of problem to have to do. But when you decide to do something, say write a poem about a tree or about a bug or something, that can do with issues or power or anything to say, oh, I know this is all about you. I have some problem with my own time. I know I'm all the things you said, but I still have a hey. Walk out there and maybe we'll come tomorrow. I have this beautiful thing I want to make. I can't quite get away from a little middle of stuff. But do you have that?
Well, it's not something you're trying to say.
I know it isn't,
but
one tree anyway.
Save that tree. It's important to save that tree. We're living at a time where kids don't know where things come from. You know, they don't know. You say to a kid, well, how do you get bread? They say, the supermarket. So it's important for you to write the poem to save the tree. Just as you know that this might be the last poem that you write because tomorrow they might blow up tomorrow. But it's also very possible that your poem could survive that Holocaust and that somebody could see those words.
Well, even a love poem, which is a very selfish, you might say, in a particular sense, I mean, to transmit that to someone, you love the world. It really does generalize. Spread it around.
You know, if I create an image, it says something to me, and perhaps I project that. But it doesn't really have, although it's a concrete thing, it doesn't, all it does is sensitize. That's my justification, is that I sensitize people. And as soon as you're more sensitive, something else is happening.
That's a big job. most of my thoughts are a little
loving.
Most of them have a little world in them. Yeah, people like to think about the world.
I think that is not the world that you have to ask yourself. It's a bit bad.
Because you don't choose the subject. And if you try to choose it, you're forcing your work in a way that you can push through to
that was passionate and show.
She was a study consultant who said, you know, she
Very far forward, letting know there are metaphors that we deal with, metaphors that we feel. And, you know, you can spend all your time making perfectly crafted ways of not saying. And I think, you know, at least as, you know, in terms of the question of subject matter or things or the words, it's that passion for it and the sense of urgency. So that poem about a tree might save my life, you know, I might just be accepted to get it, things are too awful, and I'm just trying to come on and wait for it.
Never mind some whole wheat bread, new shoes or vegetables from the